lady here in the Shem, Shir number 38, Sunday, 26 Shvat, February 11th. Section 2 lets us know how what the din lamala is going to consist of. Skip this section at your own risk. We're in Perek Beis. Details for those who will be going to Olam Haba, which Ramchal holds as the Tchias HaMeisim, and they will be bonded with Hashem. They'll be bonding by them for only you see. They have Averos, presumably that can be dealt with. Meanwhile, he talked about how that can either be in Olam HaYisurin or in Gehenna, which goes into the details of how the purification works, but that's the purification of the soul. The soul is muddy, so you have to clean it off, and that's the Yisurin do that. Whether it's as a punishment or it's a segula, in this world it's easier to understand that the yisurin serve to turn into tshuva and teva, and that's mechaper the averus. But he doesn't really mention dressing. Remember that as a result of tshuva, tshuva could wipe away the averus. Tshuva ne'avah, tshuva ne'ir, and then you say for shar tshuva. Shar has to shuv in for the lovers. So that's the process. And then he went into the Rishoyim. If you have a certain amount of schuyas, you're going to Olam Haba, you just have to deal with the Averis. If you dip below, you're going to Olam Haba, and you're going to see to exist, which I think we can't even contemplate. We can't even relate that, because you can't relate to not existing. It's like, just, we exist, we don't know what to think about. There's nothing for the mind to be toe-faced. The mind can be toe-faced not being here. The mind can be toe-faced if I'm sleeping. It can be toe-faced if I'm sleeping. It's harder to be toe-faced if one's death. But if I believe in the Shorat Neshama, so then we have what to grab onto in our minds. To say that we told you, we don't know that. But that is what will happen. And then the Rishayim's mitzvahs have to be dealt with. We're going to see in Perek Gimel, we didn't finish Perek Beis yet. But we're going to see, if you remember, a statement. He made a statement when he started this discussion that there are two perspectives to view every individual. Of course, he keeps talking about going into Olam Haba as part of a group. It's the group that's going into Olam Haba. And Hashem Berachamov wants this to be a big group. Maybe it's group rates, I don't know. It's a charter flight, no? He wants it to be a big group. And the perspective of the Ramchal's talk was, if you're going to be part of this kibbutz hashleinim, as he called it. And I mentioned in the drush yesterday, because every person is an individual and is also part of a group. It's a community, a shul, a tzibur, part of the Jewish people. We all have our individuality, but our very makeup is being part of a group. Meaning it's two, everybody lives, as I said yesterday, everybody lives with nearly
into world, and you have to share yourself with, with whatever it is, with the tzibur, with the Jewish people, with the shul, with the community, with the group, because that's how we judge in the kibbutz of Shleiman. So this is awfully complicated, it seems, and awfully complex. The mitzvahs and averus, and if you make it, and gehenem, and yisurim, and you know, the size of each avera, how much each avera is worth, right? Only Hashem knows, because there are some factors when we do a mitzvah or an avera. You think that's complicated. In Paragimel, which we're not up to yet, he's going to say that all of the discussion in Parag Beis was the person as part of a group. But the person judged individually, just to answer for yourself, it's even more complicated, and that's what Parag Gimel was about. So, and that would, and we'll see the difference. We'll see the difference. We'll see what's demanded of us as individuals, because when you talk about individuals, then we have a role to play, and we have a yud that we were put on this world for. Many, many more cheshbonos come into play in the individual. Now, how the two come out to be the same din, so to speak, or do they come out to be the same din? Maybe a person is judged twice and with different criteria, so we'll see. But I just mentioned, because really we're talking as Ramchal really does in the singular. And we're talking about a person, and a person's averus, and a person's mitzvahs. He will remind us at the beginning of Parag Gimel and at the end of Parag Beis, I believe, which we're learning now, Parag Beis, that he's talking about the individual as part of the group. And that's why he does throw in every once in a while if the person deserves to be part of the kibbutz hashleim. Okay. Technically, we're up to paragraph 8, Ches. Section 2, Parag Beis, paragraph Ches. In paragraph Zion, he said, you know, and I'm talking about the kibbutz here, the group. So when I talk about if you make the grade or if you don't make the grade, and where you're going to get, if you're going to get Gehenem, to pure. Finding Gehenna getting purified, or Yisurim and Olam Hazeh. He says, but don't think everybody's on one Madrega. There will be different levels of the bonding with Hashem, and the pleasure is different for every individual based on how many mitzvahs, the degree of the mitzvahs, how pure the neshama is. I added. Ramchal doesn't say it here, but I hear it. Well, he doesn't say it. Otherwise, he just doesn't talk about it specifically, that some neshamas can't go above a certain point, and some other neshamas can go above a certain point. There are different types of neshamas that come down to this world. Some have more potential than others. But you gotta make the grade with the bin minimum. You want to get into a school, you want to get into the class, you want to make the team. What are you talking about? You want to make a team? So, you gotta pass the test to get in. We will still have to deal with your avarice, but some people get a 65. Some people, when you go to a doctor, you don't know who passed, and who got a 70, and who got an 80, and who got a 90, and who got a 100 on the test. Everybody has a certificate on the wall. But Hashem knows, and everybody is in a different place in Gan Eden, and it's themselves Hasharim actually That's the Ramchal also, we all know by now. The Zusar Sharam actually deals with a person who says, you know, if I stay out again and I'm happy, and why should I work up a sweat? And, I'll come in on the lower rungs, I'll squeeze by, I'll make the team. Why do I have to schwitz and try to better myself, grow spiritually? So, the Mesillah Shalom gives an answer, but I don't know, like, to me the answer is like much more plush, because you don't know. You don't know until it's over, so you might be failing. So how do you ever know? So you don't know, there's no like midterm. So you say, okay, I passed, and I can coast the rest of my life. You don't know. But the Mesillah Shalom doesn't even answer that. I mean, I think that's the simpler answer, I don't know. The Sharm answers that only a fool talks like that, because we have no concept of the pleasure of Olamah. So when you get there, Gemara uses a phrase, Kol Echad Nichve Sukkaso Shel Chavero. Every tzaddik is burnt by the sukkah of his friend. The sukkah being some sort of metaphor for the one's place in Gan Eden. And burnt is from the Lashon Busha. And Mr. Malio explains, your face turns fiery red, and you're embarrassed, and you feel your face burning. And you won't say that when you're there. You only say it here because you don't understand what's involved. But if you, the person says, you know, they're giving out prizes, and if you pass the test, you're giving out prizes. And if you just pass, you get a can of soda. And if at the top, you get a Lexus. And everything in the middle. So, you know, you could, so a child, you say, you know, I'll get a can of soda. As long as I make the team and I get a prize. I don't really care. You know, you could have had a $100,000 bond, you know, to put away to your education. So, it's like an adult. That's what we're like. If that's what Mesillas Shalom says. Only a fool would talk like that. Someone has no concept of what awaits us in Olam Haba. Yeah?
If you say that certain Meshavas that don't have the same capacity for godless...
He doesn't say that. I said it, yeah.
So why couldn't there be a second cut? Not the honors, but the second group of people who can only... who fulfilled their capacity, but
I'm not sure what you mean. Gan Eden's Gan Eden. We don't even know what it means. I'm just using
words.
We're bonding with Hashem, and you make the grade, you're part of the group, and you did it on your own merits. He's pointing out in paragraph 7, the first paragraph, we have, or at least the printing I'm using has two paragraphs in paragraph 7. So the first one says, you know, don't think everyone's the same. It's not pass-fail. Hashem doesn't mark you pass-fail. Some people will get a 95 and have even more immeasurable, unfathomable pleasure bonding with Hashem, being the son of Hashem, than the people that passed and got a 70. There's a group of people that passed and make the grade. That's Olam Haba. You're either going to get into Olam Haba, or you're not going to get into Olam Haba. That's what he's talking now. He says, not everybody gets into Olam Haba with the same capacity, with the same intensity. It's based on your deeds. Some people did a lot of mitzvahs, and only very, very few of theirs. Some people just squeezed by, Rachmei Hashem. They squeezed by, and they had to undergo a lot of Yisurim, they had to undergo Gehenna, even. To get into Olam Haba, they have to undergo a purification of the Neshama. So they're not on the same Madrega at the end of the day. At the end of the day, there are lower Madregas and higher Madregas. What I am adding to what the Ramchal says explicitly is that some Neshamas don't have the capacity to do more than they can do. So so the Neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu is
You know, if you read the Midrashim about it, Hashem went into, like, again, he went, like, very, very near the Kisei HaKavod to mine the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu to send it down to earth. And the people, the Tanya talks about this also. Everyone in the beginning, Perek Bey, I think. There's different neshamas and have different capacities. Okay? Okay, now the second paragraph in paragraph Zion, we're up to, in the text paragraph Ches. I want to stress again the second paragraph of paragraph Zion. He says everybody's responsible. He says you have to remember that you create your own reality. This is not just a reward and a punishment and you pass the test. Every prat to prat, every action you do, lifts you up or brings you down. And everything is metaklus adictum. And you know, if you don't, you can't. Hashem, you're going to sign off on your din. Really, that's what it says in the sign of Tokyo. It says, V'chosom yad kolonim bo. We're all going to sign off on it. Ramchal Lashon is a very powerful phrase, which people nowadays don't want to hear, but often shloyelo tarumas al echer klav. You can't blame it on someone else. You can't blame it on your fourth grade rabbi, and you can't blame it on your parents, and you can't blame it. That's not to say the fourth grade rabbi and the parents might be the determinant of your, what we call, b'kudas avachiva. Might be. But everybody creates their own olam haba. Can you have some really, really unusual cases where a person is taka an onus, and taka has, an onus means no bechira, and they were so abused, and they were so, well, that's so, there's different ways of dealing with abused kids, or abused adults. You know, it's not for this, it's such for learning from Chal. But the general approach nowadays is to try to blame everybody else but the person. You can only do that if the person, if you're ready to say, you are an onus, you no longer have bechira. Because you were so messed up, so I understand, now you have no bechira. But that's few and far between. You might be on a low lekudas. You might be on when my son Nechemia taught in Kesher. I mean, every kid there was abused in one way or the other. I think maybe that was the entrance. Every kid there was abused, and they were also there. But you know, so there was, and there were therapists. Nobody was denying. But, you know, there's different types of therapy. There's a therapy that's tough love a little, and says, listen, take hold of your life, and make something of yourself, and you still have bechira, and what happened, happened, but I'm going to help you climb out of it, but you have to climb out of it. This is like, if you know the 12 steps about Alcoholics Anonymous, it places a lot, it's a very spiritual document. The 12 steps. It's very spiritual. It's unfortunately, not unfortunately, it's Christian, but it was adapted by Professor Tversky and many others for different addictions and for Jewish people. You don't have to meet in the church basement anymore. But it's a very spiritual document, and it's a document which says, it's funny, you know, it starts off, you're helpless. You can't lick this addiction without the help of Hashem. It doesn't say you can't lick it because, you know, you can do what you want, because it says, but the implication is with the help of Hashem you can lick it. And you have to do certain things to deserve siyata d'shmaya. And I don't think places, I don't get it, so don't answer me back. Write me a nasty email. There are many places that deal with these. I'm aware of them. I don't want to say their names. And they don't take, they claim they do the 12 steps, but they really don't. Or they don't understand how deep the 12 steps are, like what it's really saying. What it demands of the addict. It really makes demands on the addict. And the whole point of the first step is that you're helpless. It's helpless without Hashem. It's a humbling, right? Because the guy that says, it's like the joke, you know, I can quit smoking. I've done it dozens of times. That's what it's coming to, that's what it's coming to avoid, right? The person that says, I can do it, won't do it. And adequately, he won't do it. He's addicted. So he'll wake up every morning and he'll say, just one cigarette won't hurt me. Just one cupcake won't hurt me. You know, and then just one drink won't hurt me. He can't. So then, but then it makes demands. And that's what the Ramchal, I just love his notion that ba'ofen shlo yiyo lo tarumos al acher klal. You're not going to be able to turn to anybody else and say, it was your fault, because nowadays it's everybody else's fault. It's everybody's fault, just not the addict. Now, you could have circumstances where you're anonymous. There's no question. That's the exception, not the rule. It's not a general mahala. You could have, someone came to me the other day, not from the Mahatma. And she was very severely abused, very terrible, so shocking to some. I'm not treating, I'm not a therapist. Don't even think I would do that, I wouldn't touch it. I'm not trained, I'm not capable, I'm not. You know, I don't have a tribal kind of money, nothing. A good one is worth every penny, every shekel. A good one. But, as I talk to an hour a week, she comes to me to talk. It's a shame. And I tell her I'm proud. Because she's an adult. She's going to But I don't tell her how wonderful she is. I mean, you look at the 12 steps. The places that claim a high success rate, and I don't think they're telling the truth. A lot of places. And a lot of places, very few places that understand the omic of the 12 steps. The omic of the 12 steps is that it's adirah, you take responsibility for yourself. And Ezus Hashem, it's really a very religious document. But Ezus Hashem, you can get over it. Now, I'm not talking about a physical addiction. Obviously, for a physical addiction, you have to go somewhere that's going to detoxify you. Then you have no bechira. I don't think you have bechira over a physical addiction. But then there's other types of addictions too. With the title, it can become an addiction. It's not I don't call that a physical addiction. I'm talking about a chemical physical addiction. Maybe tobacco could be that way, nicotine, or drugs could become a physical addiction. Anyway, I told this to 100 people already. But often shlo yiyo lo tarumos al acher klal. Elohu atzmo. You are responsible for your reality. I will say, but, whatever truth there is to that, don't worry. Hashem knows. Don't worry. And it could be, again, that therefore you're on a different level, what we really, literally opens up the whole world when he talks about the Kudus HaMechila. You open up the whole world. It could be because of what happened to you. You now have to decide if you're going to marry a Jew or a non-Jew. And you're not holding by, am I going to be Mechal Shabbos or not? It could be. But you're going to be what you make of yourself. It's not Hefka. this happened to me, and now, you know, all bets are off, and I can do what I want, which unfortunately is which is to be found. Like, you can do no wrong, and it's always somebody else's fault. They also say we're going to help you. I'm not saying they just give carte blanche and then they give the guy the girl a blank check and say, yeah, go into Tel Aviv and have a good time. They don't do that either. They try to help, and they try, but it's a question of perspective, really. Is it nothing's your fault? Let's try to overcome all these things that are not your fault. Or get hold of yourself. You can make something of yourself. You must make something of yourself. It's your responsibility to make something of yourself. You can't blame other people. You have to... Okay, good. So, now you know why I'm not a therapist. No one would come to me. Okay. And I'm not, of course. But, I talked to Nehemiah, my son Nehemiah, who's now... He was in Kesher for many years, and he dealt with them after they were Shimer Clarence's already on a certain basic level. He didn't deal with the real when they came in. You know, they come in and then they went through a whole system. They know the place closed up. They're very, very busy on their smartphones now. So they don't visit with it anymore.
Why did they come in the first place?
Either they realize their lives are messed up and they want to put it together, or their parents forced them to come because their parents didn't say it. The parents said, you go to his place or goodbye. But it closed up with a lack of funds. But now Hashem, you know, he's working with a different age of kids now, a different set of issues. Dealing with kids who have no spark of life in them. They finished 12th grade in America, yeshivas, they got promoted, keep getting promoted. And they walk out and they were there to sell like everybody else, and they can't read a piece of Gemara. Who promoted them all these years? That's what it is. And they have no feeling at all for Yiddishkeit and no feeling for davening. They're from. I mean, they'll catch a kid maybe, but they're from. And they want to be from, but they have no concept of what it means, and Hashem and Gishmak. And right, so that's, he's doing that now. Yeshiva's brochure, so he can give me your checks.
How do they select to go to this yeshiva?
Nehemiah just is finishing up a 10-day, he's still up to the same degree. He's still recruiting.
Uh-huh.
He just spent 10, he's coming back to the Hashem. He just spent 10 days in America, and his itinerary was Baltimore and Muncie and Far Rockaway and New Jersey, and he ran around. So Baruch Hashem, the yeshiva was open already for 2 years, and it's good. Rabbi Shon, by the way, the head of the yeshiva, if you know Rabbi Shon, I don't know if he's, I don't want to make it like it's Nehemiah's yeshiva, and then he gets a check. He doesn't have to raise funds. And so he's my mechutin, Sochaveri, who was a big power in a place called Imre Bina, also takes good boys, but they don't even have to go recruiting anymore. That's where they're sent. So maybe in a few years, Kenny also won't have to do this. So he's in the second year of the yeshiva, and he has 35 boys, which is quite good. And he went in recruiting, he tells me he had on a Sefer Shemaya, but that's the different type of avoda. What does he learn with them, of course, to give them a little spark of Jewish kind? That's it. That is like
kind of love. Is he successful with it?
We don't really know yet. But, we don't really know yet, but if the population increases, maybe that's a bad sign. If boys want to come, maybe that's a bad sign. I don't know if they want to come. Well, we don't know yet. It's too early to tell. We'd like to think so, you know. Sometimes he comes at night at home and he says, you know, I talked to this guy for 2.5 hours, you know, about Hashem. And he told me, he was davening, he's in the sun davening now, you know. But that's... We'll see. That's a good question. We'll see. In Rabina, is Rabina successful? They're open already around 10 years, 8 years. I don't know if they know it. I don't know. And how do you measure success? I don't know.
Right.
See, in Kesher, you can measure success by, did you make Shemir Shabbos?
Uh-huh.
Even though Eishat Torah started measuring success by, are you marrying a Jew or not?
Uh-huh.
So they lowered the standards of success. But
that's something.
It's another story. What?
That's also on the criterion.
Yeah. It depends what your goal is. So, you know, are you successful? You know, if you're not being successful, just move the goalposts. Okay.
Rav,
yes.
You know that
Lubashkin
said
Havasol Lubavos
was his
favorite. Yeah.
Sharon B.
Tuchman
specifically. Exactly. He couldn't leave the prison without it.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to paragraph Ches. But I get a lot of mileage out of the last paragraph. You create your own reality. Don't blame other people. Ches. Meaning, Al Pi Shorash Zeh, based on this principle, everything we've done in this parak so far, Timotzei Old Havchana Gedola B'din HaMaaseh. But there will be yet another difference, another classification, another difference. So he talked about Gehenim and Yisroel and Olam HaZeh, people that make Olam HaBoh, people that don't make it Olam HaBoh. There's going to be yet another categorization. Lishbot Osam Sherowi Shatagia Toldosam, the fruits, the ramifications of what they've done, their toldos, meaning their ma'asim. Losais Ilun La'odom the kibbutz ashleimim shosacharnu. They're going to make it into the group of people going into Olam Haba. Shira Ilui Shayitnu, and they're going to have whatever level of Ilui that they're going to have. But Kikavor Yimotsu Masim, but there are specific actions. Shekavit Mishpat HaElyon HaMaduktuk VaHayoshar, because Hashem is totally just. Lo Yagil Losish LaAdam Ilu L'Zman Hazeh. This is, again, very scary. Well, maybe not. Maybe, there will always be good deeds that don't add luster to the neshama in terms of the ultimate reward. And that schar for those actions will be in Olam Hazeh. In other words, if you're having it good in Olam Hazeh, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a rasha and Hashem is giving you the reward for your few good deeds in Olam Hazeh. The nature of some good deeds is that the schar is in Olam Hazeh. That could be, it could be to the good. Eilu dvorim shon demochel teroseya b'olam hazeh v'akeren shem es loli olam haba. There are mitzvahs that give forth reward in olam hazeh and in olam haba. And then, there could also be, if you do mitzvahs, it's not done with a passion, it's not done with simcha, it's not done with the sense of connection to Hashem, it's flawed, the mitzvah is flawed, and it just doesn't have, it's not an avera. You even yotzei the mitzvah, or else it would be an avera that you didn't do the mitzvah. So you did the mitzvah, you had kavana even, but it was lifeless. I'm giving an example. So maybe something like that doesn't have the power to, you know, to scrub the neshama off of a little dirt. The neshama now is not. That doesn't make the neshama more able to bond with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the reward for the mitzvah, or avoidance of an avera, which we explained back in section 1, is also something that a person does and has to strain himself or herself for. And that's when you get schar for a lav, when you hold yourself back, when you refrain. You don't get schar for a lav. For not killing someone, if there's no opportunity and you're not in the mood and nothing came up, but you get schar for not talking lashon hara when you sort of have to bite your tongue and you have to refrain, and it's a conscious effort. So every lab is really adding luster to the neshama as well, because of your effort to comply with the Ratzon Hashem by refraining from doing something. It's almost as if we would say every lab can be reframed as an asay. Refrain from this, refrain from that, refrain from this. So, and then you have to make an effort to refrain from it. If you do, so then you are fulfilling the law. If you don't, you're not really fulfilling the law. I'm fulfilling the law of not killing anyone by sitting here today now. Except if your thoughts about me are worse than I thought. So there are certain pu'ulos. He's a little vague. He doesn't really explain. There are pu'ulos that naturally carry their schar in Olam Hazeh. And they don't raise you up in Olam Haba. He wants to give you the full picture. It could simply be the Gemara implies somewhere that if you do Shalom Lishma, you have kavanah to do the mitzvah, but your purpose is not to do the will of Hashem. Your purpose is for kavod, or for shidduch, or to get your kid into a school, or to have a social circle. You're doing the Shalom Lishma. What we learned in Chayes Alavas and Shai Yishev HaMaiseh, try mightily to avoid doing the Shalom Lishma. So that mitzvah, that's the example that the Maradarish here, the Pesach on the bottom, gives for the type of mitzvah that might not have that property of making your neshama lustrous, more able to bond with Hashem. For Aziz, the Rav Hanzel doesn't really say what that is, but I think Shalom Lishma is a good example. Without Simcha is a good example. Lifelessly. So that person will remain mishpele hanitzchiyim. We're talking about someone who will be going into Olam Haba. So he's on a lower madrega, but the certain mitzvahs he did, which are not going to be able to raise him. Tanei akibut habu from the smaller ones of that group. When he said dovek tzad, it's a little similar. Moshim to the chayim lemalach and chavul tzchar golam azeh. There's really a huge difference. He also chose a chayin olam. He said previously about getting chayin olam hazeh, shame harishon hagmurin. Then I got olam habor. So we have to deal with the mitzvahs, so they're going to get the chayin for the mitzvahs and olam hazeh. In a cholokol koach maasei hatom b'schor shem olam hazeh, the eino magima on the tzchias klal. So they don't make the grade because they received their chayin already in olam hazeh. The Elul, but the group I'm talking about now, and he wants us to know there is such a group. They're making the grave. Maybe it's only with the purification of the soul, maybe it's after Yisurim and Olam Hazeh, or maybe it's after Gan. Okay, but they made it. You're in. He now Komponim Yeshem Chelet Nisharos HaNitzchi. Eloshim, and they kilkul Ma'aseihem. I think it doesn't tell me he's talking about Averus. It's telling me he's talking about flawed mitzvahs, which we don't even think about. We're so happy to do mitzvahs, not Averus. Like, come on. But the Chofetz Chaim in many places is quoted as doing tshuva. Like, what were the Chofetz Chaim's Averus? That he didn't do the mitzvahs enough for Simcha. Like, we say, Asher Kedushonu, but it's also the Tzivanu, we should be bursting with joy. Bursting with joy. We are part of the Jewish nation. We are part of this nation that's going, I'm a Jew, I'm going to exist forever and ever, have an opportunity to have immeasurable, unimaginable pleasure. And I didn't do anything to deserve it. We didn't deserve to be born. They barely squeeze their way in. But Rabin is who you'll say, I mean, a lot of their mitzvahs, Makabu, most of them, they get this kind of Olam Hazeh. She'ilu ha'yad din nosin alayim, she'imulu b'olam ha'bobo b'olam hazeh. If it wouldn't be that this is the nature of the mitzvah that they do, but too often, for ha'yad din sov ha'noshim ha'yad madrega, and our gvohos would keep us our shleimim. It would be on a much higher madreva. Now, why is he making such a big deal about this? It's like, I think because, you know, there's a famous gemara, maybe you heard of it, maybe you didn't hear of it, that a certain amora went up to Shemayim, and he saw that people he thought were big in this world, Elyonim Mamata, Tachtonim Mamala. So, that could be understood in many ways. But according to Ramchal, we just learned, he could have seen people who do this a whole day. But Hashem knows they're doing Yeshua Lishma. So they get the schar and olam hazeh, and they're lamata. They're on a loma dreba of olam haba people. And people that, you know, they thought were lowly, but they do their mitzvahs with a clarity, and with a simcha, and with a sense of devotion to Hashem, and with a sense of carrying out His will, and they're happy about it, and they feel like ours, like, oh, let's say we bring in the Chazal Shalom's basic principle of how to do mitzvahs, and they do that, so then they're like, that shines their neshama. And the other one, it's really a big Kiddush, he says, and he makes a point of saying, and I'm not talking about Rishon, I'm talking about people who are making the grade, but sometimes they too will have to settle for the schar they got in Olam Hazeh. So, if you see someone with Yishmak Olam Hazeh, and he seems like a good person, you shouldn't think anymore he's a secret Russia. He's getting a schar in Olam Hazeh, but there could be other reasons he's getting a schar in Olam Hazeh. Or he could be excelling, of course, in mitzvah or the Bochel Perosei and Bochel Hazeh. But can't come as well Olam Hazeh. So, he's eating off the interest. That's what it says. Paris. He's eating the Paris of the Karen Kayem, but the principle is still saved for all of Papa.
Can I ask something?
Yes.
I'm not going to answer you fully.
Here.